greatest treasures you could find in those days was a milk bottle or a pop bottle, because you could take it in and get 2 or 3 cents. And I'm not kidding. Money, a little bit of money went a long way in those days.
Fred remembers that when summer rolled round, the neighborhood kids and even some of their moms would go picking fruits and vegetables at area farms to make a few dollars.
Everybody was poor. My mother didn't have any. When we used to go picking, we used to take mustard sandwiches. That's all she could put on the bloody bread. There'd be maybe 100 kids and women, like the mothers. They'd go out picking, too, to raise, get a little bit of money. And the farmers' trucks would come along, and boy, it was a scramble. I'll tell you, those elbows flying. But mostly you got work. Very seldom you ever missed. And they'd take you out to the farm, and you'd have to take a paper bag with something in it. And, of course, what we lived on was the berries. If we were picking berries, we sure ate some, too, you know. And even when we picked beans, we'd eat the raw beans or kind of. I imagine we made anywhere from 15 to 75 cents a day, which was good money in those days. I'm not kidding. Well, a Coke cost a nickel, you know, coffee cost a nickel, phone call cost a nickel.
Fred remembers one particularly memorable incident that occurred when he and his brother were picking beans one time.
And I'm going away like this, and I look back, and there's my brother way behind on another. I went back, the heck's going on? We got to make some money. But he was pushing the beans down in the basket. I said, what are you doing that for? I said, Jesus, take you all day to fill up. You keep doing that. He says, yeah, but some poor family might get this basket. I'll never forget my brother saying that. Now, he was only about maybe 6, 7, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. But that's the way people were.
Florence Fisher is a longtime resident of the North End. She remembers the old Hamilton Market as a place where some kids could pick up a nickel or two.
We used to go down to the market and carry baskets and bags, parcels back for... God, we were lucky if we got a nickel. We would carry them home to the people we thought were the rich people that lived up in the South End. Right. Aberdeen, Charlton, Robinson, all of those streets, and then run like crazy back down to the market to see if we could find somebody else. That money went to mother. That nickel went to mother, because the Royal Show was only a nickel, and if we made more than a nickel, then we could go to the show on Saturday.
Bringing home money was not the only way Florence helped her family get through hard times.
The old market was where the market is now, but it was all outdoor market. Right. And we would go with our baskets on Saturday when it was closing time. Say, have you got anything you don't want? Like, you know, the potatoes, a cabbage. You have no idea how long you could eat off those things, you know. And not anything was ever wasted. And that was our way of survival. And when we would come home, you might have had, maybe had 4 potatoes that fell off the basket, or you had... cabbage had a little brown on it, or you had things that maybe were unfit for sale, but they still was an awful lot of good eating in it. Yeah. Remember one time bringing home, guy said, yeah, take this. I think it was a pig's head. I'm not really positive now, but I just recall, I thought I was going to bring it home and scare the daylights out of my mother with this pig's head. She made the most delicious head cheese out of that you could imagine. And I thought I was just going to scare her.
Keeping the house warm during the winter months was always expensive for North End working families. Kids helped out here, too.
Take the teddy wagon and 2 bushel baskets. And we go down from where we lived, 1 block down to Burlington Street, along Burlington Street to James, 1 block. Yeah. And we stand at the corner of Burlington and James with our little teddy wagon. And the boats used to come into the docks down there and unload the coal. And from there it was put in the trucks, different trucks that would haul the coal and sell it. Because you didn't heat by natural gas, not too many then. It was all coal pretty well. And They used to come up Burlington Street, and we'd stand out on the road, and you'd hear them honk when they got to Houston. They would honk their horns to tell us to get behind a pole, and they'd go around the corner practically on two wheels and throw off half a
really?
Ton of coal.
Yeah.
We'd be out there picking it up, putting bushel baskets, and running home, coming back with bushels, and loading it up. My sister and I, most of the time, and there was... two or three others had started, and people that lived there, they would come dashing out of their house with their baskets to put the coal in. Got behind the pole, because when that coal flew up, it flew up.
Yeah.
And we picked that up, and we kept the house in coal pretty well.
Parents, too, did what they could to stretch the family's meager resources.
My dad would take 10, 20, 25 cents if we had it in the house, and go to the pool room. And he'd come home with $4 or $5 because he was a good pool player.
Yeah.
And, hey, that was gravy. That was big-time gravy.
Fathers often attempted to earn extra wages, but it was usually Mom who was responsible for making ends meet. She put in the longest hours and found the most creative ways to turn a little into a lot. Floyd Reed thought his mother never slept.
My mother was a woman who was up at before 6 o'clock every morning. I've never known her to stay in bed after 6 o'clock. She would be washed and dressed with a fresh house coat and high heels, and she would be doing her housework at 6 o'clock. And then after she come home from work, it was back into doing housework and making sure the kids were fed and clean.
In a time when cash was really scarce, Fred Purser remembers how his and other moms in the neighborhood came up with one ingenious way to bring money into the house.
Shopping. We used to get welfare chits, you know, like from the lady.
Oh, yeah.
Like food stamps in the States now. Now, this is where the big stores used to beat us. The big stores, like A&P, we'll say. Now, if you went there with a $5 chit, and bought $3 worth of groceries, they never gave you $2. What they did, they gave you the tape, register tape, and wrote on the back of it, if you had $5 and spent $3, they'd say $2, and you had to spend that $2 at their store. Whereas the little guys with the little stores, they would give you cash, you know. And that was the only way you got cash.
Sometimes the resources of the family and neighborhood weren't enough, and families were forced to turn to the city for help. Today, we call it welfare. Up until the 1940s, this was known as relief, or going on the dole. For large numbers of North End families who ran out of work, money, and options, going on relief could be a humiliating experience.
They used to come down to your house. They used to check you out. You could only have so much of anything. You know, they found that you had more than you were allotted, and they'd cut you off. It was bad. Like my dad come from Italy, he liked his wine, and he couldn't even make his wine. Of course, he couldn't afford it to begin with, but even if he could afford it, he wasn't allowed to make it. Because we were on relief. We got so many sacks of coal for the winter. We got coupons for butter, for the bare necessities.
When we were on welfare, they used to come and check your coal bin. They would come and check your coal bin. They would walk in your house and check through your house. Well, you don't need that chair. Go and sell it.
Really?
And take it off your welfare if you don't. I can remember standing in line with my mother down on Victoria Avenue, right across from General Hospital. Used to be the welfare place in there. And I can recall standing in line in the wintertime and going in there and having Capelli, his name was. Everybody hated him, but he was doing his job. Examine your shoes to see if you needed a new pair of shoes. And they'd give you a pair of these boots, which till this day I can't wear boots that high because they ruin my feet.
The city seemed to assume that able-bodied adults were only unemployed because they were lazy or somehow morally damaged. It instituted some condescending measures to teach those on relief the habits of thrift and hard work.
So to get your relief in those days, you had to perform so many days a week or a month for the city. You know where the Dundas Golf Course is?
Okay, yeah.
There's a big, big stone wall that goes up there. That was all done by relief workers. The Rock Gardens in Hamilton, my dad worked in there for nothing, too. The Royal Botanical Gardens on York Street, that was a city dump. They cleaned all that out. That was all done by relief workers, people on relief. And that was their way of saying, you want to eat, you got to perform your duty for the city as well.
My dad used to do 2 days a week to work for welfare. He would go cleaning parks and Sherman Avenue cut, cleaning that out. And I think they were building it at that time.
My dad had to work. And also during the nice weather, you were given a plot of ground. Recall the one that we had was up beyond Fennel on Upper James. Fennel was the end of the city. And then it was all farmland. We were given one plot of ground, I recall, there. And we used to have to walk up there with our hose and our shovels and whatever. And somebody would come by and they would give us the seed and somebody would be there to inspect our garden. Really? It was weeded and tilled and hoed and everything. Another spot that we had was behind the Basilica Church and down in that where the highway is now. We also had a plot there that we had to plant our own garden and mm-hmm. and go every day and weed it. There was a little creek that went through there that we used to even water it from.
In spite of the humiliations, in some ways hard times helped strengthen the feeling of neighborhood unity that had been building up in the North End ever since wage workers first began making their homes there.
I thought it was a great place to live. Everybody, you knew everybody. And, for years, all through the Depression, I guess you would call it down there, that I can remember anyway, my mom never locked their door. And kids in the neighborhood would come knocking at the door, "Miss Reed, can I have a bread and jam?" "Sure." You looked after everybody's kids, and everybody looked after you. When I was young, if I was out doing something I shouldn't have been doing, I got a kick in the butt. It didn't matter from what neighbor.
People felt sorry for one another and tried to help one another. We were all in the same boat. Of the families that were on our street, there weren't too many of the parents that were working. And if they were working, they were maybe getting 2 or 3 days a week. And they're lucky they got that.
When we were kids, we never knew we were poor. Yet we were so happy. We made everything ourselves. We did everything ourselves. And we played sports and stuff like that. Which has formed my philosophy growing up on welfare. And it was no pain, because everybody in the bloody East End and North End was on welfare. The first day I went to school when I was 5 years old, I came back home and said to my mom, "Geez, every kid at school is dressed just like me." They used to give us an itchy sweaters with turtlenecks. They were sort of a purple brown, awful color, with two red stripes around here. Every kid had this. Corduroy pants with leather in here. And when you walked, it went like that. Black stockings and great big boots, like football boots. And every kid, the government handed it out. So, what the heck are you going to do? And every kid was dressed like that.